Hi, I'm Ryan Penny, and welcome to The Catholic Sphere. This week, our diverse Catholic guests will be discussing artificial intelligence and social media. First, we have with us Father Ambrose Crist, a Norbertine priest from St. Michael's Abbey. He joins us from the monastery in California. We also have with us Franco Aurelio Fernandez, who runs the Instagram account TheFrancoTV. He's with us today from Virginia. And finally, we're joined by returning guest John French of John is Catholic. He is the mastermind behind John is Catholic. He joins us from down under in Australia. Let's set the stage. You tell us, Father Ambrose, what is artificial intelligence? And what's the difference between Google and ChatGPT, between Adobe Photoshop and an art generator? And why has it garnered so much attention in recent years to the point where now the Holy Father has established artificial intelligence as the central theme of the 2024 World Day of Peace?
Great. Thanks, Ryan, for the opportunity to speak about these interesting and very current topics. I'm happy to be on the show today. So artificial intelligence is an intelligence, and I put that deliberately in air quotes, intelligence that is exhibited by machines. And that means that it's a way that machines, computers, new technologies can mimic in some way human intelligence, which means that these computers or machines can perceive the environment around them and then execute problem solving much the same as that would normally require human intelligence to execute. So that's a kind of generic way of describing artificial intelligence. I put intelligence in air quotes because really only, rational creatures with a rational soul, an immortal rational soul, can have real intelligence. The intellect is something that's only proper to human creatures and to angelic creatures. So machines, computers, even animals don't really have an intellect, which means they can't have intelligence in the proper sense. But the fact that they can, that these machines and these technologies can imitate proper intelligence is what we mean by artificial intelligence. Now, you asked also about ChatGPT and Google. Google is a search engine. It's a way of computer technology that can examine vast amounts of data in the internet. And basically, it's a search engine. So someone can ask about, find me this kind of information, and that technology will find it. Whereas ChatGPT, GPT stands for generated pre-trained transformers. I had to look at my notes. Generated pre-trained transformers. So this is a large language model. It's a kind of computer technology that not only can search vast amounts of data, but also then can use that data, those data, manipulate them very much like a human neuron system can, almost like a human mind, so that it can imitate human language, for example, and respond to questions in a way that is analogous to human language. So that's a big distinction between something that can just search the internet and something that can use that information in the digital space and answer questions about it.
Thank you for making those distinctions, Father. And then on top of that is the fact that ChatGPT is able to generate answers to these questions exponentially faster than human beings can. And so that point right there, what you're talking about, that there are clear differences between artificial, you say, intelligence and actual human intelligence. And I want to get back to that point again with you in a second. But okay. First, I wanted to speak to Franco and John about how they've been using AI on their social media platforms to great success. So Franco, to start with you, one of the most popular posts on your Instagram, and you've done this a few times now, shows you sitting at a computer and telling AI to make romantic Catholic art, and then we see the amazing results. One of these videos on your Instagram has gotten over 160,000 views and over 16,000 likes, along with a mass of very positive comments, including one that said, "Next time someone asks me why be Catholic, I'm sending them this video." And you write in the caption of the post, "Pregnancy, mothers, fathers, marriage, children, all under the church. We need to see meaningful art instead of meaningless art. Franco, why do you think people are so inspired by this kind of art? And why do you think we shouldn't be afraid to use AI to help bring that kind of art to people?
So with the caption, you know, with meaningful art instead of meaningless art, I do think that there is so much art out there nowadays that's starting to lose a lot of meaning. I mean, you might see some viral video of a person literally just doing some random action. Like it's just, and it just looks, or like they destroy something or something like that. And it's as if it's like art. And I mean, of course, by definition, we can always debate on like what exactly art is, but I give it, if we want to go by a very vague definition of art, I would say that the best art is really what can pull the heart closer to goodness, to pretty much God, right? To God. I mean, God is goodness, right? So to pull the heart that way, right? So I really want to help uplift and promote more art that is meaningful and can move the heart in the right direction instead of just art that's like, oh, looks cool, but apart from that, it's like, you know, it's like eating a delicious cheeseburger, but it, you know, it's not really healthy at all. It doesn't really, you know, it might even harm you, but of course I wouldn't go that far with like some art pieces, but you know, you get what I mean, right? It's not, there are some art pieces that just don't have like, you know, that oomph to it that you can get with when there is a message behind it. That's why I think some of the best artworks throughout history have been things that involve religion, you know, politics, of course, those two are usually intertwined. And regarding like, should we be using AI for art? I really think that this really comes down to what exactly are we trying to achieve? And when I've seen so many, and of course, respecting the human dignity of the person, I think that there's a lot of concern out there on using AI for these sort of matters, just 2D on the screen art. And I sympathize with these people because I sympathize with the concern because I myself have made a lot of art in my past. I would honestly consider myself a musician first with, you know, regarding so much artistic works that I've done with cinematography and of course on music and stuff like this. And when I see about these new AI, artificial intelligence, that's literally able to make a song, like, you know, maybe not as good as, you know, human hands can, but like still is able to get you pretty far along. Or, you know, like I also do amateur photography. Now you can create a wonderful piece and like that has a lot of influence from a favorite photographer of yours that you have thought of, right? Or, you know, just stuff like this, right? That, to me, I look at that and I think to myself, like, smokes. I need to make sure that I'm on top of my game for this. Cause, something that gives me peace of mind is that, of course, this will never be able to match the human hands, right? This won't be able to match the human intelligence. However, the artificial intelligence, it all goes, it all like functions in what we set up its code or whatever, right? So it's not as if when you see these like very weird demonic like images online of AI, it's not as if the AI is like thinking for, it's like I'm gonna like, you know, promote degeneracy and whatever. It's like, no, like that's, you're putting it into, you're letting it grab whatever images it wants from the internet. And so it might, if you type in like some sort of, you know, some prompt that might be a little risque, it might go into those things that look a little bit more like, you know, demonic or whatever, or just like not very classy. And of course, when it tries to compute the mixing in of body parts of humans, it might just look a little weird sometimes because it's a robot. It's not really perfect, right? So I myself do sympathize with a lot of the concern that it is with AI. However, looking at it from a very technological and just like, you know, just practical standpoint, I do think that throughout history, there's always been innovation to create art. And I think that when we're able to use that innovation for good and to use that power, like how we see in superhero movies all the time, when we see power introduced into the world, we have a duty to do good with that power, because of course it's like, it's not really going to go away. It's here. You've opened Pandora's box. And so we have to work with what we got now. And so I think that I think the Pope said something like this, we have to use it with responsibility. And I 100% agree. We have to be, if we're going to use it, we have to use it responsibly. And of course, like the stuff that I made online, I want to keep showing the beauty of Catholicism, to, you know, as efficiently as I can, because of course, I mean, I see some people that, you know, I myself have been a, you know, broke college student trying to make a lot of big budget stuff, but I just can't because of the budget, or because maybe like, you know, I just can't find the people to help me out with it or whatever. And now you have this new innovation that's allowing these people who might have great ideas, not just me, but like, you know, just a lot of young Catholics who want to do great things, want to show the beauty of our faith, and they're now going to be able to do that with AI. They don't have to depend on like some big budget Disney or Pixar to be able to do this. Now they can start doing it themselves and take that initiative.
Okay, so yes, just as you said, essentially, with great power comes great responsibility. And AI is only able to produce what we as human beings put into it. So can you walk us through this process of how you put your ideas into AI? Can you explain to us this process of how you sit down at your computer or smartphone and create this AI art?
Well, I use Midjourney, and that's the AI that I've been using. So you kind of go on Discord and you type in like a prompt, like slash imagine, and then you type in, I would type in like priest, 4K, real, hyper-realistic, and then I would put in like a type of color scheme, like complementary colors, glowy or whatever, just like stuff that can, stuff that's precise to exactly what I want to get. And usually the results are really cool. You can also like put in sort of like, you know, different types of like, oh, photography style of this guy or this camera lens from this camera, Sony A6300 camera lens, 50 millimeter, 1.8 lens or whatever. You can be very, very specific. So and that kind of gets into the thing of like, you know, this kind of strips creativity. And I do agree. It does, the AI stuff generating does strip a lot of creativity, but to say that it strips all creativity, it's a little bit of a reach because, you know, I myself having used it, you do have to know like what exactly you're looking for and what look you want. And you have to be experienced in how the kit and how cameras look and how, you know, what exactly type of art style you're trying to get. But of course, you can also be vague and just type in priest and you see what the AI just gives you and whatever. So right. That's pretty much how I've been able to generate it with the AI.
Yeah, you can't be completely inept as an artist and expect to get good results with AI. You do have to have some good artistic sense. And clearly that's what John has too, because he sat down in front of his computer and asked it to generate if Disney Pixar made movies about saints. And he posted the results on Instagram and it got over 1 million views and showed some really stunning examples of what's possible here. So Franco has talked about the potential of AI, faith-infused art to turn hearts to God, to our Lord. Should content creators, John, also be inspired by these ideas brought to us by AI? So we have the people who are looking at it who are inspired, but should content creators also be inspired by what AI is able to produce? And what should be the response?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think insofar as AI draws people to Christ through that content that it produces, then all power to it. It's just at the same time, I'm hesitant to say that because we should also not dispense with our God-given human faculties. And I also think that should take precedence in the creative process over the AI. Like, I know Father just previously said that AI intelligence is different to human intelligence. And ultimately, that's because us as humans have a rational mind and a soul with the ability to produce originality. So, yeah, just... like AI is absolutely a tool that we can use. So for example, for me, I use it as a search engine tool. So I'll kind of go into ChatGPT and I'll type in, if I'm making a video about Our Lady of Fatima, I'll be like, give me different resources about Our Lady of Fatima that I can then use for content. But I wouldn't say that I explicitly use it to kind of write out an entire video script for me. So really, it's just like recognizing how we can use it in moderation, like knowing that it has a place in content creation. But again, just like recognizing that us as human beings, we have something to offer. And also, like us as human beings, as creatives, we've stood the test of time. Whereas AI, it's basically an infant on the scene. It's a baby. So it hasn't stood the test of time in the same way that we have. So just recognizing its place in the creative space.
In other words, to see AI as a tool that we use to help us in our creative industry and not as a replacement for it. So what are some practical tips, though, John, of how content creators can use AI in a way that avoids diminishing their own creative faculties in the process, especially over the long term? What are some practical tips they can use so the AI doesn't take a place in their artistry that it should not?
Yeah, it all depends on like who you are as an artist, whether like you're a video creator. So, for example, if you consider the script writing of a video to be a valuable part of your creativity, then I think it's kind of backwards to then use AI to do that for you, because it's just impeding on your creative process and your way of expressing yourself creatively. Because, you know, as human beings, like insofar as our creativity is an expression of our drawing to God, I don't think that AI should replace that. So really it's just using it in moderation. So practically speaking, I'd just say like use it in moderation. So I brought up the example of how I use it as a search engine. So using it, it's kind of an advanced search engine as opposed to Google, because it can give you very specific results on very specific searches. Whereas if you type in something like resources on Our Lady of Fatima, it might be a little more randomized, whereas you can specify exactly what you want. So use that to your advantage, but ultimately don't let it take over the creative process completely.
Right. Yeah. ChatGPT can be helpful in the sense that, versus with Google, if you type in Our Lady of Fatima, all it's going to give you are a list of websites about Our Lady of Fatima, and maybe it'll pick one that already has a summary on the page that it shows you or what you're looking for. ChatGPT is able to pull from an infinite number of sources to give you a ready-to-go answer so it can save time. But we have to make sure that we're not abusing it. So, Father, more about this. If AI is just one more technological advancement benefiting society in the ways that Franco and John have just described, what could be the potential ethical concerns with AI and content creation?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ryan. I think that like any new tool in the creative industry or in the intellectual process, you know, there's a big difference between the file cards in the library of yesteryear versus the computer file of a library that we used, you know, 30 years ago. As technology takes steps forward, these are human instruments, we have to ask the question, what is that doing about our humanity and about the human person, and how does that trickle down into making our life more a revelation of God's glory within us or less? So I would say with AI and social media in general, and just the computer technologies that we all use so much today, if these technologies, including artificial intelligence, are drawing us into a computer screen and sucking our life into that two-dimensional interface with the world that doesn't involve real human beings around us, then it's probably dangerous for us in some ways. And we have to think about, how is this technology inviting us to interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ and in the world, really, in my family, at work, at school. So if it's drawing me out of myself and into real relationships for God's glory, then that's exactly the direction we should be using it. But if it's making me turn in on myself, into my two-dimensional screen, my laptop, my iPad, my iPhone, then I'm actually missing one of the most important parts of human life, and that is the incarnational life. We are bodies and souls, and this world is real, and we have to live in it. So I would say that's the fundamental danger with this kind of powerful technology. There are many others, but that would be, I would think, the most essential danger. There, in the technology itself, there is also the danger of the very technology running away with itself in a way that could really be destructive for humanity. Very much like the atom bomb or the hydrogen bomb is so powerful that it can destroy half the globe, and that's something that human beings invented and then utilized in the last century. AI is a little bit like that. It has that same kind of very powerful destructive force within it if it's unfettered by human moral principles, those moral principles that come from God.
So it has destructive possibilities, not just with us as individuals, but also on a global scale, and that's precisely what I want to ask you about here in a couple of minutes. But first, Franco, another example of when you using AI turned out very successful results on your Instagram with one of your reels that got over 800,000 views. It was a clip from the Lila Rose podcast with none other than Father Ambrose, in which he's exposing some of the nature of demons, and he uses one of his experiences in a psychiatric ward as a frightening example, but you overlaid some what we would call B-roll in the editing world to illustrate Father's story, not from typical video stock footage, but from AI-generated art, and it is hauntingly compelling, and I couldn't help but think it would be tough to find actual video stock footage that would elicit that kind of emotional response in me. So does the success of a post like this mean that we need more AI-generated stock footage, or Catholics need to get out there and start making better narrative video content, or both?
Honestly, I would say if God calls you to it, then do it, whether it's the AI or whether it's doing more stuff out in the world. I mean, I totally agree with Father Ambrose's concerns on this AI stuff, because I do think that it's, we run the risk of like literally just, you know, being closeted to ourselves, isolated and whatever, and like, you know, not being involved with the human experience of, you know, creating such art. At the same time, though, I also do think of at the same time that with, you know, moderation, right? I think of when I, you know, whenever I do photography or whenever I've like trying to draw stuff or whatever, right? It's always it itself is already kind of isolationist. I already am. And it's like, now if I'm like getting together with a group of friends and we're making a huge paint, huge murals all together, very different stuff, right? But when we're making quick sort of, you know, sort of, some might say propaganda, but, you know, when we're making quick stuff to really put out online and, you know, be on in competition with all the constant, you know, output of media by non-Catholics. I mean, there is so much content being put out, music, you know, photography, paintings, all this stuff by non-Catholics. I mean, there's like, we have Catholics that are talented. I myself consider myself very, very good at what I do with my music, with what I do with cinematography. I've directed my videos on film and whatever. I consider myself very, very good at this stuff. That being said, I can't really ignore the fact that there is like this innovation out there, and I better get on this train or the train's going to leave without me. And I want to be, and I don't want that my ideas like the, because really, you know, yes, we can have gifts to make photography. We can have gifts to do cinematography and all this stuff, right? But why do we use these gifts? We use these gifts to better promote the gospel narrative. We use these gifts to make sure that the hearts can be swayed in the right direction. And so if you're called to still keep doing the stuff on, you know, on the street, you know, all what you want to do, I mean, that's God calling you to it. But I also do think that God could call some people to do more stuff that can be quick with this AI. Like, for example, like in the video edit that you're talking about, there is a moment where, you know, Father is talking about how, you know, a person is like literally getting attacked by demons or something to that level with when they are experiencing some sort of, and by the way, Father, please correct me if my wording is not right here, because it's been a long time since I watched that video. But when a person has like a mental illness, they are like, you know, there's demonic influence to some extent on that. So with that, like, I wasn't like trying to get like some stock image of like, you know, a person dressed up as like a demon or whatever, like the typical Hollywood Satan look, right? I didn't want that. I wanted someone to genuinely be like tormented by all these, like a bunch of like monstrous deformed figures. And so I was like, how do I get something that looks like that, right? And so obviously, in my mind, I had the image. It's not as if I, you know, I just couldn't think of it. Like, I, you know, I'm not the type of person that has a hard time rotating 50 cows in my head, you know? So I was looking like, okay, obviously, you know, now that I think back at it, I'm like, obviously I can't really go out, buy the materials, you know, make sure to get all the expense to make sure to get a, you know, get some sort of paper and paint this whole thing, right? I don't even have the skill for that. Painting was never really my thing. So I can't exactly do this. And photography, that's still going to be a battle in itself. With AI, did it in like 5 minutes, and the message is greatly sent across. And now, like that video has 800,000 plays. That's hundreds of thousands of people that are now being able to potentially get receive this message better, visualize it better, and kind of get the feel that not just like the logical aspect of what Father was communicating, but the emotional aspect as well. And that is insanely powerful. So I think that, again, like, I don't want to demotivate people from doing community stuff. I actually largely encourage like people to do more community work, community-based artworks, because I think that when humans put their minds together, not just one person, we create cathedrals. We create these enormous, great, grandiose, beautiful structures. Some of the best songs are done by several people. So I don't want to demotivate that, but I also don't want to discourage the artists who maybe don't have the money or maybe even don't have the talent from wanting to keep spreading the gospel in a way that God's calling them to.
So, John, another kind of post that you drop frequently, and this is really common on social media, definitely among Catholic influencers, and I don't even know if you would call this an example of AI, but it's at least similar. You superimpose a popular movie or TV character in front of a Catholic backdrop. A memorable example is you having Spider-Man's Tobey Maguire's face over a painting of Jesus and the blind man saying, "I'm going to put some dirt in your eye." Why do you think that is such an effective approach to online evangelization? Why do you think those kinds of mashups are so consistently effective for online evangelization?
Yeah, I think part of it is just the innate humor in applying a pop culture theme over the top of a biblical narrative. Like, just that idea in itself, thinking about that, that shouldn't make sense, and yet it does in the video. So just for context, you referred to the Tobey Maguire video. So basically, I took a scene out of Spider-Man, and it was Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker. He's basically just planning to stitch up his coworker. And he says, "I'm going to put some dirt in your eye." That's my American accent. And so I've basically taken that scene and I've placed it over the top of an artistic image of Christ with the blind man. And so, as we know in the gospel narrative, Christ takes some dirt or mud and places it over the blind man's eye. And so I've basically taken that idea of "I'm going to put some dirt in your eye" and applied it to a biblical narrative. Why that's popular? Look, some people might just love Tobey Maguire. Like, as we all know, he's the best Spider-Man. But beyond that, really, it's a bit of a hot take there. But beyond that, really, it's just like it's the principle of applying like a pop culture reference to a theological or biblical theme. And so finding like creative ways to communicate the Christian message.
And obviously it works. So thank you, gentlemen. We're going to continue this conversation next time. So thank you again, Father Ambrose, Franco, and John, for being with us today. And thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join us next week with host Father Joseph Mary Wolfe right here on The Catholic Sphere.